This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
I am a nervous wreck sitting over
here. Are you? I can tell.
Just absolutely. This television.
Boy, good to get an athletic endorsement from an administrator about you and your efforts at the cross country.
You know what I love about it? You're trying to downplay the importance. And once again, everybody, I mean everybody's on board on this. T-minus eight days.
Yeah, just give me
my guy, Jim Phillips.
Give me a couple days next week. I'll find the guy. I'll find the person.
You go ahead.
Who's
run
not
right
in,
over.
Who's not in.
Chariot of Champions.
All right. We start the 8 o'clock hour. We're headed to Tallahassee, kids, to the state capital of Florida this morning, where the quarterback of the Seminoles, Jordan Travis, is good enough to visit with us here on ACC Network. Jordan, good morning. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So how was the bye week? Because the momentum was starting to build for you guys, and then you take a week off. How do you keep it going, I guess?
The bye week was big. Bye weeks are great, especially right in the middle of the year. Hmm. We played six games. Some guys are banged up a little bit. So just getting healthy, man. That's the biggest thing, is being healthy. Mentally and physically. I think that was really big for us.
I know UMass is front and center, but I want to go backwards with you a little bit. The importance of getting that first win. Now, that Syracuse game, hey, that could have gone the other way too. I mean, you made some unbelievable plays with your legs coming down the stretch. Was there a sense of relief? Because I know everybody's working hard. I mean, right? I mean, everybody is dialed in. This is a tough grind. How important was the first win, though, Jordan, as far as, hey, all right, great. We got that off our back. Now let's go. Because it does look like this team is playing with a totally different sense of confidence as opposed to a month ago.
That first win is huge. We work really hard in the offseason, work really hard throughout the year. Our goal is to win football games. We weren't able to do that at the beginning of the year, but we try to focus, live where our feet are. That win right there was huge. Just seeing the guys that happy in the locker room after was the biggest thing for me. I play for the guys on my team and for this university. So just seeing them happy is awesome.
Jordan, when you looked then at taking that moment and processing it and then having something positive to show at Chapel Hill, going to the bye week, that almost speaks to the long game in this season, I'm thinking, right?
For sure. Yes, sir. It does. That game right there, I would say, is the biggest game of our year that we've played. Going in there into UNC and just getting a win like that and against a great team with the crowd and everything against us, it's big for us to come together as a team. We see that we could beat anybody. I think our toughest competition week in and week out is ourselves. Coach Norvell preaches that. And I believe it so much. We have athletes all over the field. We have guys that work really hard that want to win this football games. We just have to focus on the little things.
Jordan, you know what's impressed me about your team this year? Your offensive line lining up and say, let's run the ball. You know, Corbin's having a tremendous year. You've been terrific as well. That's got to feel good, right? Because for years and years we've talked about, oh, man, the offensive line, guys are on their back, quarterbacks running for their lives. Looks different this year. Looks totally different.
Those are my boys. I love them so much, and I appreciate them because they work as hard as they give everything they have week in and week out to protect me, to protect Jayshon and Trayshon. It's really special to have those guys fighting through injuries. It's a blessing to have them because there's a lot of outside noise that talks about them. So I know it gets in their head a little bit, and that's always tough. But they come in just ready to work, and I love them boys a lot.
All right, Jordan, you talked about Coach Norvell. I know Kenny Dillingham's been a big part of what's going on this season from an offensive perspective. Can you walk us through kind of the journey that now has gotten you guys to a point where you're looking at your first three-game win streak in 4 years if you beat UMass on Saturday? Just what's this season been like? I know there have been some ups and downs for you and this football team.
It's been a roller coaster. That's what I go back to every single time. It's a roller coaster. There's been a lot of ups and downs, man. But I feel like it was needed. We needed those ups and downs because it made us who we are today. And I wouldn't change anything that has happened in the past. Nothing at all, because it makes us stronger. Makes us go in and work harder. Coach Norvell is one of the greatest coaches I've ever had in my life, if not the greatest coach I've ever had. He loves us. He cares for us. After a loss, he comes in. You can just see it on his face. It bothers him so much. But no matter what, that next day, that Sunday, that morning when we come in, he's ready to go. It makes us ready to go. We come in just ready to work every single day. I'm proud of the guys. The guys have worked really hard this offseason, worked really hard throughout the year. And I'm very thankful to be part of this football team.
Jordan, it's been fun to watch from afar your relationship with Mackenzie Milton. You know, what he's had to do to come back just to play the game again is remarkable. You guys went back and forth in terms of playing time and so forth. What's that been like for you and your relationship, Mackenzie, moving forward?
Mackenzie's one of my best friends. He's at my house almost every single day after practice, after we're just hanging out. That's my guy. I was in high school watching Mackenzie, just looking up to a guy like that and watching all the accomplishments that he had. And it's crazy that I'm sitting here and he's on my team. It's a blessing from the man upstairs. He came in, he made me, Chuba, Tate, Gino work really hard. He showed us how a leader is supposed to lead. He showed us all the little things that we need to be a quarterback. And I can't be more thankful for Mackenzie, and I'm so thankful that we have him here.
All right, so let's look ahead a little bit. What's important Saturday at noon here on ACC Network against UMass? Obviously, it's as much about you as it is about the opponent. I understand that. I think that's every week in college football now with the level of competition. But what are the key elements for you guys to post a third straight win?
Just play our football game. Don't change a thing at all that we've been doing the past couple weeks. Just keep focusing on the little things, because the little things are the most important thing with everything. I mean, if we do the little things right, I think we're one of the hardest football teams to beat. Like I said, we have athletes all over the field. We have hard workers all over the field. And I don't think it's really much about our opponent. I think it's all about us. So we just got to go in and play our football game. And yes, sir.
Jordan, for folks at home, you know, who turn on the game on Saturday, they're watching you guys rock and roll, do your thing. What's the one thing a fan doesn't realize what you go through during the week? That they'd have no idea of. You fill in the blank how you answer that question. It's more than just playing the game Saturday. What's the one thing a fan has no concept of that you have to go through during the week to get ready?
I would say just the hard work, just being out on the field all day. And we got meetings throughout the day. Game weeks are tough, but it's fun. It's a blessing. I know a lot of people would love to be in our shoes, so I just try to embrace it. Every single day I wake up, I try to keep a smile on my face and just get ready to work. Yeah, the weeks are tough. We have a lot of hours managing school. It's tough, but it's part of the game, and I'm very thankful I'm here.
Is it is the journey worth it? I mean, when you get to moments like a week ago Saturday in Chapel Hill, the ups and downs, the roller coaster you spoke of, it seemed like collaboratively this team's been through a lot. It's really in the last 2 years, though, Jordan. It seems like the payoff might be around the corner. A couple wins in a row, chance to get a third, back half of this 21 season. It just seems like you guys are really close now.
We are. Just seeing the guys happy once again, it's the biggest thing for me. I love seeing my teammates happy. I care for my teammates more than anything in the world. Just seeing them happy. When I walked in that locker room after Syracuse, after UNC, just seeing the joy on everyone's face and the excitement we had on the way home, on the plane ride, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I'm a part of a team like this with guys that care, with guys that love you, with guys that just come to work every single day, no matter the circumstance. It's a blessing from the man upstairs.
Hey, by the way, the number 11 over on defense is having a nice year at end. Do you try and stay out of those one versus one type situations, offense and defense, with number 11 over there peeking around the corner?
Yes, sir. We try to help it a little bit in practice. We try to double team a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It takes two to block 11, doesn't it, Jordan? I mean, you got to make sure you get that side squared away. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm glad he's on my team. Yes, sir.
I mean, Jordan, seriously, that guy is like, He's wrecking houses, isn't he?
Yes, sir. He comes to work every single day. That's the awesome thing about him. Every single day is like a game day for him. He comes to work every single day, and he gives 100%. He misses a tackle in practice. You see him get very upset at himself. He's a hard worker. He's a good person. I'm thankful he's on my team.
By the way, any name, image, and likeness stuff working there? Or are you just, hey, it's all about football and school. I don't have time for it.
I've been focusing on football. This week, I tried to get a little stuff. I signed with a little company. I'm just trying to focus on football right now. The big thing for me is just getting football, just getting wins, and the rest will come. So, yes, sir.
You're right about that.
Good for you, man. Good for you. All right.
Sir, thank you.
Is this Jordan's first visit on our
show? No, he's been on before.
Has he?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, also, I was on here last year.
Yeah, he's a veteran, man. He's been down this road before.
You know what? I keep forgetting. You know, it's funny because Roddy Jones and I did the game at Boston College where you came in and played in the second half and stood the building on its ear. Does that seem as long ago as it feels like to me, or am I just old?
It feels like it was yesterday.
I still remember
it like it was yesterday.
Well, there you go. Sir. See, again, I'm just old, Jordan. That's the bottom line. So there we go.
He just confirmed what we already knew.
Yeah, we already knew that. Hey, good luck Saturday. Great to have you with us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Jordan Travis, quarterback at Florida State. Kind of like the vibe.
I'm happy for their success. Florida State fans, coaches, folks in the media that cover them. This is a national brand. This is a great football school. And the last couple of years have really been tough and rough. And, you know, that's why I was so critical of people putting bags on your head. Hey, dude, you're Florida State.
Come on, man.
Come on, you're better than that. And, you know, I'm happy for their success. The league needs Florida State to be good. I've said it 1,000 times if I've said it once.
Right.
Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, teams that have national brands have to be good in this league.
Mm-hmm.
So to see Florida State looking like they're turning the corner a little bit, I mean, that's to me is incredibly encouraging, not for Florida State, but also the conference.
Here's the other thing I think you have to respect about Jordan Travis's situation. And by the way, there might not be a finer kid on the planet than Mackenzie Milton. Just because you've been through what you've been through to come back, you get a chance to come back, and given a chance to get the team to win, Travis takes the job, right? But Mackenzie Milton's still having an influence on that football team, still mentoring quarterbacks, still using his experience to their success. That takes a lot now. When the journey ends, and it's unscripted, we've talked about that before, right? That's a pretty strong statement by Jordan Travis to say Mackenzie Milton still supports and does the things he does. It'd be easy to, hey, in today's world, would it be easy to walk off? Sure, not that kid.
Well, I think it's cool to hear Jordan talk about, hey, he's my best friend. You know, he's over at the house all the time. That relationship, because it'd be really easy. High-profile institution, you're the star quarterback, he's the star quarterback. Mm-hmm. You get into the egos sometimes, hey, it's my job. I mean, you could see how that would be friction personified.
Right.
But to hear Jordan respond the way he did and say, you know, McKenzie's my guy, he's over at the house, we're having fun. Yeah, we compete. He makes me better. I make him better, et cetera, et cetera. That's what leadership's all about. I mean, that's how teams get better when you've got that kind of relationship in the locker room, right? Where, hey, guy, I know you're a competitor. You're a five-star guy. I'm a five-star guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get after it. We're all after the same job. But the bottom line is we got to play together and win.
No doubt.
So it's good to see Florida State where we're at after that ugly start, back-to-back wins, the big win against North Carolina. Now they get UMass to be a heavy favorite. Like I said to you the other day, could easily have a three-game winning streak heading into Death Valley next weekend.
Yeah, and won't that be interesting if that's the case?
Could be monster game in some respects, depending on what happens this weekend.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Chester in full regalia.
Yeah,
Fuller over here on the floor behind us.
Getting some love during the break.
Yeah.
Life's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, off to the Constitution State we go. Josh Macri waiting patiently to host this week's edition of Over Under.
Is he going to join us?
I hope so. Oh, there he is. Look, there he is, the voice of multiple victories and a football tour of America.
Patience is a virtue, Wes.
The first question I have is for you, Macri.
True.
No, that was the other day.
Nope. It's over and under. You got to answer it correctly. The Dodgers season is?
That's an over-under question. So I either say over What do you mean? Are you asking me a fill in the blank? The Dodgers season is what?
This is over and under. You pick over or under. I'll try again. The Dodgers season is
under.
Oh, that's wrong answer.
Underwater.
Here we go. Look. PLA again.
Good job.
Is something wrong with him?
No.
I feel like I'm talking to Longhorn Jeff on radio.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Now, welcome we're to my world, guys. I have to deal with that twice a week.
Oh, how about that?
Oh, okay.
Guys that don't listen. Nice. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Very
well. It's kind of cute. He comes back from going to Nebraska. Now he's got all the answers. Well,
hey, Nebraska, Kansas City, right. Central New York. It's been quite an expo.
If Macri comes to your town for a game, the home team loses.
Oh, boy. Wow. Whoa, we went there. Hey, who's that walking behind over there?
Don't worry about it.
Hopefully our next segment host.
Don't worry about it. All right. All right, let's go. Over, under. You passed the first test.
I failed the first test. But
miserably.
Anyway, yeah, terribly. So let's leave the rest of the question answering to you guys. First over, under has to do with NC State's defense. They lead the ACC with three games this season in which they've held the opponent to 7 points or less. Over, under, one more time, they do that this season.
Can I see the schedule?
You can.
Seven or less
at Miami, Louisville, Florida. No.
You're going to say?
No, they're going to be double digits.
Under one?
Yeah, under.
No. I will also go under.
Yeah.
I think NC State's good. I'm not sure that.
It's not like that.
Seven or less is happening like that, though.
No.
So we'll go under there.
Hey, Pac, not to bust on you, but you were just giving me a hard time for not answering your Dodgers fill-in-the-blank over-under question, and you answered the first over-under question with, quote, no.
I think I said under.
I'm pretty sure you said no.
I said no, they will not. No. They're going to go under. Golly. What happened to him? Can we get the real Josh Macri back?
He's back.
This is it.
This is my guy right here.
This is our guy. Salty.
These are the cogs of the engine right here. Chrissy and Meg and all these other folks.
It's not the same guy.
Jen.
This wasn't the same guy that left for two weeks of vacation.
I like this guy's attitude. Week off did him well. I'm proud of him.
I appreciate it. All right.
The Red Sox choke, and all of a sudden he's got an attitude.
Wait. Let's leave that out of this.
Sorry.
We're talking about your team and your anti-team. All right. Go ahead, Josh.
Just had Jordan Travis on. Florida State, as we mentioned with him, has been very successful running the ball, but over under 275 rushing yards for Florida State against the Minutemen. Keep in mind, UMass, 127th in the nation in defending
over.
The run.
Is that per half or for the entire game?
Over.
They're going to run these dudes right out of the building, man. Come on. This is not a competitive football game.
Yeah, this is back to the old days of, saw Trayshawn after the game. He played great for us, didn't he? Gene? Yeah. Saturday is one of those games. Remember those? Where Coach Bowden would do his TV show and roll off about 9 guys in their hometowns after the game. That's what kind of game Saturday is.
Yeah, this is not competitive.
Yeah.
Florida State does its thing. Wins their third in a row.
Yep.
Over.
What would the number have had to have been for me you to go under?
350?
400?
325. 350 probably would have been the under for me. Maybe 375. I've seen UMass.
They're terrible.
It's not good.
Okay. From running the ball to passing the ball, Syracuse and Virginia Tech are both very good at it, first and second in the conference when it comes to defending the pass. So over under 400 total passing yards between the two of those clubs on Saturday.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well.
Under. Yeah, I think that Virginia Tech-Syracuse – becomes a game kind of played in that 8 to 13 yard window. There'll be big plays here or there. Trey Turner, Tavion Robinson. There'll be plays made by the Orange. Queeley's been good. I would say this, though. It's still a game played in that 8-13, 8-15-yard window.
Yeah, I don't think either team's going to scare the other guy throwing the football. But running it could be a quick clock, too, by the way. That could be a under 3:30
game. Yeah.
That could be a West Durham special.
That could be an under 3, yeah, 3.5.
Got a chance.
We had the world-famous 256, 257 game. I don't think it's that, but it's close.
I was talking to Brady Hoke this week. He's got out there at San Diego State doing the top 10 in rushing. He's doing a great job. And they're at Air Force. I said, Coach, that thing could be over in like 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
That forward pass is optional. Yep. So, yeah, that'd be a quick game. I'm not sensing a whole lot of aerial display in Blacksburg.
All right. Malik Cunningham needs 65 rushing yards to become the 17th player in Louisville history with 2,000 career rushing yards. Over under the 65 that are needed for Cunningham against BC on Saturday.
Over.
Over.
Yeah.
Over.
He'll put it on the show.
There is major concern with Tim Lukaboo and Jeff Hafley about this guy Saturday. You look at the tape and start looking at the way he impacts the game. I mean, it's not – and here's the scary part. Pac, how many times have we talked about guys who can run and throw where it's not the scripted run like some of this you're seeing? It's the unscripted stuff.
Yeah, the improv. It's,
oh, my God.
Outstanding.
His broken play percentages of success, it's got to be in the 75-80%.
Yeah, I'm not going Lamar Jackson on you.
No.
Because he was a special,
unique
talent.
He was 90 to 100.
Yeah, it was a different animal. Yeah. But it's got a little of that where, hey, guess what? Now you better get him on the ground. Because, you know, if we're not talking about the years that Howe and Pickett and Armstrong are giving you and Sam Hartman as well, this guy's numbers are spectacular.
There they are.
Yeah, and he's just in a league right now that we've got so many good quarterbacks that it kind of gets lost sometimes. But make no mistake, Malik Cunningham is a strong dude now. He's a baller.
Yeah, big-time player and a big guy. I mean, we saw him in Charlotte at the kickoff. He's a bigger guy.
Terrific, man. He's a dude.
All right. Let's see. What do you got here?
Got one more for you. So we talked at the start of the show about Virginia Tech, how this is a critical game for them, and how they've struggled, relatively speaking, on the road. For the past 8 seasons, they're 16-18 at Lane Stadium against Power 5 opponents. Over under 1.5 more wins at Lane for the Hokies this season. They have 2 opportunities.
Oh, look, I saw this question, and I'm like,
I never look at the
questions. I hope we don't get to this question, but we did.
I never look at the question. I want to hear it
this
for the first time.
This is a really hard question.
You know what? I'm going to go under. You know why?
Why is that?
Because it's always under. I mean, Lane Stadium, I've said it 1,000 times. I love Enter Sandman. I love the fans. I love the tailgating. I love the vibe. But they just don't close at home. They don't. So I'm going to go under. And I think they'll beat up on Duke. Everybody seems to. I got to see it. Close the game. Win out.
I am really struggling with this. I don't know which way to go.
That's good. Why don't you go with that?
Sorry.
Well, you got to pick.
I'll go over.
There you go. That wasn't hard, was
it? I'll go over. It's a really good question.
By the way, I don't have
Saturday
any.
Saturday is
I have
just,
no idea. What's the line on that game?
I have no clue.
Does anybody know who's favorite?
I think it's close. It's close.
Brooks will know. What's the Virginia Tech's 3.5 favorite?
Okay.
45 over and under. I think it's a dice roll.
Over. I think it's really close.
It's a dice roll.
I think Saturday, there's a lot there. There's a whole lot there. But we talk about where their seasons are. I mean, I just think it's
– they're both 500.
Yeah. I mean, postseason, all the things long-term wrapped up into one.
I expected to see more from Virginia Tech last Saturday against Pitt. There was
I would
so
agree with that.
Much riding on that game. They were never in it.
Yeah.
They were never in the game.
I agree
now,
with that.
Is there going to be a sense of bounce back of, hey, we're better than this, or is it like, nah, I mean,
and
we're
good. And is Burmeister healthier?
I don't know.
I don't either. And how do you get healthy during the season if you just don't practice?
You don't.
Right.
You don't. And I think Syracuse's defense is really good. I think Virginia Tech at times can be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think offensively, I think they're kind of a mess. I think it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, when I watch a Virginia Tech game, it's like watching a Clemson game. The football field looks like it's 250 yards long. It's always a first down, but you're always on your 25-yard line. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
You good?
Yeah,
you'll be all right?
I'm going to be all right.
Okay.
You know, just studying that roadmap. I'm just not getting a whole lot of sleep for next week. T-minus 8 days. Chariot of Champions, South Bend, Indiana.
Is that what you're thinking?
It's what I know.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It's what I know.
All right.
Chariot of Champions.
Well, let's talk about Pittsburgh.
River Stadium.
Hosting the Heinz Field.
Oh, that stadium. Only that stadium over there.
Heinz Field hosts Clemson and Pittsburgh on Saturday. The ranked team is the home team. And Grace Rayner from The Athletic joins us. Always appreciative of her time, right?
Of course.
Grace, a little different vibe this week at Tigertown, knowing that the boys with the paw on the side of their hats, not the favorite going into this one?
Yeah, I went back in the and did a little research, and this is the first time that Clemson opened as an underdog in the regular season since 2016 Louisville. So definitely a different feel in that regard. I don't remember the last time that I went to a regular season game, let alone a road game, where Clemson didn't seem like the runaway favorite. So, yes, different feel for sure.
I got Dabo this afternoon on radio, but my goodness, that press conference this week had a little bit of everything, didn't it?
It really did. And as I was listening to him on Tuesday, yeah, I guess it was Tuesday, all the days are running together at this point, but when I was listening to him on Tuesday, it seems like he kind of has this energy where it's a little bit sarcastic, but it's not passive aggressive by any means, but he just seems to kind of be embracing the chaos. And not to say that Dabo finds this season entertaining or funny in any way, because he was very clear about how he's the most frustrated of them all, but he seems to be embracing the chaos of it a little bit.
All right, so Grace, here's Clemson in a really interesting spot, right? I mean, you're kind of had some ups and downs. You beat Boston College. You kind of survived, if you will. You've got a couple losses nobody expected. But you're kind of still one of these teams that is an unknown. It's a weird spot, and I don't know that anybody anticipated this. So how do you think they handle the second half?
Yeah, I don't think anyone anticipated this. And, you know, I was really curious, Wes, to see them come out of their bye week, because I thought, okay, if it's going to click for this offense, it's going to be coming out of the bye week. And then we saw just kind of another slog through it game, you know, at Syracuse. So I think the way they're handling it is coaches have said heading into the bye week that they're going right back to the fundamentals in practice, almost like it's preseason camp again, just kind of stripping it down. And they seem to still be optimistic that they think it's a matter of time. They think it's coming. I don't know what that looks like. We certainly haven't really seen it yet. But they seem to think it's a couple plays here, a couple of drops that are catches there. DJ, you know, making the throws instead of overthrowing them. And I had heard Dabo, I think, said on, I guess it was maybe Sunday or Monday. He basically said that there was one instance where one of the players on offense didn't know what the play call was. And I've never heard or seen Clemson struggle in that way. They're usually so good at executing little details. So I don't know what it looks like, but we will know it when we see it.
Well, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news, I guess, is they're really good on defense. They have been all year. The bad news is they can't have a sidestep anywhere on Saturday, because offensively Pittsburgh makes you pay for it. I mean, nobody's doing in the ACC what Pitt's doing offensively right now.
For sure, yeah. I mean, Dabo absolutely raved about Kenny Pickett all week, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a super experienced guy, and it's interesting because I think Clemson fans remember the Kenny Pickett that they saw last year, who threw four interceptions, and Clemson just absolutely dominated the turnover margin. And now you go into this game, and I think Kenny Pickett is making a case for a Heisman. I mean, I think he has to be in the conversation. But, yeah, this is an offense that is averaging just about 500 yards per game. So you're right. There is no room for error for a team that already had a really small margin for error.
Grace, Clemson hasn't sniffed 20 points in regulation against a team with a pulse, all right? You're going to take on a Pitt team. You just rattled off the numbers of what they're doing offensively. In your mind, how many points can Clemson score to win the game?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. Oh, I mean, yeah, they have to get over this 20-point nonsense. It's so bizarre seeing this offense just put up those numbers. I mean, I don't know. I think Pitt is averaging, I believe when I looked it up earlier in the week, it's 40-plus. I think Clemson's defense, obviously, is going to be one of the better units they've seen. But I think Clemson would have to put up, I would guess, at least 28, maybe closer to 35. I don't know. I mean, it's just such a high-scoring Pitt team, and Clemson can only ride its defense for so long against these guys. They have to be able to at least show up to a track meet.
Grace, okay, with that said, I'm going to let everything fall perfectly, all right? We've watched 7 weeks. I mean, this is week 8. This is not week 2, week 3. Mm-hmm. This is week 8. Are they capable of scoring 28 points against a team with a pulse?
capable, yes. Will they do it? I don't know. I think they've been capable of so much more than they've put on film this year. Like, Justin Ross is capable of catching some of these balls. DJ Uiagalelei is capable of taking the heat off of some of these balls. I mean, I think they have all of the tools. They just need to do it. So I don't know if they'll do it this weekend, but I think they can. I just don't know if they will.
All right. I want to pivot on something, since you've been as close to this program over the last few years as anybody we talked to. In a year that was unexpected, and I'm with you on all that. I think we all are standing by, kind of jaw dropping a little bit, like, holy cow, we thought there might be a difference. We didn't think it would be this drastic. Where have they gotten better offensively in your mind from game one or game two to where they are going to Pittsburgh on Saturday?
I think they've gotten better in the run game, and we saw kind of how that opened things up for DJ in the passing game. I thought that they really, when Kobe Pace busted off that big run against Boston College, I think a lot of people had questions about what Clemson would look like without Will Shipley, and they've really done a good job, I think, in the run game. And then I think, too, another area where we saw them get better, but we haven't been able to see it since because of both the bye week and then Hunter Rayburn was in COVID protocol. But I thought their offensive line looked as good as it had all year against Boston College when they took Matt Bockhorst and put him back at guard, his natural position, and slid Hunter Rayburn into the center spot. So Rayburn's not available again this week, so they're going to have to, you know, Dabo's been calling it musical chairs with the offensive line. They're going to have to get a little creative there. But I definitely think that they've improved in the run game, and I thought that the OL looked the best it had about 2 weeks ago.
Grace, everything's been about the offense or the lack thereof this season for the Tigers in terms of the national narrative. You know, but the flip side is, defensively, they've been awesome. I mean, I know everybody's talking about Georgia, and rightfully so. But, man, Clemson's defense has just been ridiculously good, and that's with a ton of injuries. And I'm not sure that they have received enough national attention for what they've been able to accomplish. Everybody talks about, oh, Clemson survived another game. The offense hadn't done A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I don't hear a whole lot of people going, that's true. However, that defense has been awesome. And I mean fantastic good.
They really have been so good. I think it's been so fun, too, seeing Andrew Booth kind of come into his own at corner. But, yeah, I think the number on the defense that really just makes you pause and realize how dominant this defense has been is my colleague at The Athletic, Max Olson. He does a stop rate article every year. And Clemson is fifth in the country. They're getting a stop 82.4% of the time, and their points per drive that they're allowing is less than one. It's like 0.89. So, yeah, the defense is certainly doing its part. I mean, it's not like these offenses are crushing Clemson on the other side. They're having to slog through it, too, against a really, really good defense. And as you said, Pac, they're doing it without Brian Brzee, without Tyler Davis. Andrew Booth didn't play against Syracuse. They've just had Nolan Turner to start the year was hurt. They've just had so many injuries on both sides of the ball. But to do what they're doing without Brzee and Davis, I think it's pretty remarkable.
And, Grace, you know what the other thing is, too? They're also doing it knowing that the offense isn't going to score but 14 or 17 a game. It's one thing to say, hey, listen, we got a really great D. But, hey, we're always playing comfortable with a 2-score lead or a 3-score lead, or we know our offense is going to score 40 today. Hey, but you got to go out there every single possession knowing, hey, we're coming off a 3-and-out, or, hey, the score's still 3-0 or nothing-nothing. The pressure on that unit to be able to hold serve and keep the Tigers basically in the game just adds even more pressure. And I think that's what makes them even more impressive with their numbers when you compare it to other teams around the country.
For sure. I mean, you look at, I think the moment for me where I was, I don't know if impressed is the right word, but just where it really kind of sunk in exactly what you were saying just now, Pac, is just the NC State game. I mean, the defense was on the field for, I think, 40 minutes. Right. I mean, they were just, they, every time you looked up, they were on the field. So, yeah, certainly the offense is not really doing the defense any favors, but it doesn't seem to affect the way that they're playing in terms of getting what they need to do done, and they still seem to be a very confident, very free group. So, yeah, certainly that side of the ball has been really, really strong.
Do you know why Grace is one of our favorite guests in the history of the 485 shows of Packer and Durham?
It's a long list of answers.
Well, there is, but one is she also understands the presence of mind to promote work of her colleague, Max Olson, at The Athletic. That also leads into a segment we're going to do, Grace, later in the show about Max's article and stop rate. Right. So there you go. Because
excellent. Clemson, there you go.
Clemson is not the only ACC team that's really good in that particular discipline. NC State also comes up there. And Pittsburgh is not bad. And that leads me to the question about Saturday. We spend all this time talking about Clemson's defense and Pitt's offense, Grace, and how many times do these games go the other way, right? Where it then becomes Clemson's offense, or lack thereof, in the particular case of the Tigers so far, and Pitt's defense. Any way in your mind that becomes a storyline Saturday at Heinz Field?
I think it's possible. I mean, Dabo was talking this week about how Pitt's defense is very aggressive and they don't really give you a lot of time to figure things out. And I think that that's going to be interesting to see with the Clemson offense because they've needed some time to figure things out. But you look at Pitt statistically and they're going to give Clemson chances downfield. You know, their rushing defense is much stronger than their passing defense. So if you're DJ Uiagalelei and you see Justin Ross break it through and you air it out and you hit one early and you get some confidence and you feel like you're hitting your stride, maybe this is that game where things kind of open up for them. I mean, I was talking to my editor about this yesterday. I'm not going to be surprised either way. I really won't be surprised if Clemson comes in and has this get-right game against a ranked team. It's just a weird season, things have just kind of fallen in weird places. But if they do figure it out this week on the road at Pitt with their backs against the wall and really not a lot to lose at this point, just given the way their season has gone, I don't think that I'll be completely stunned by that.
I tell you what else is weird, and it's typical this whole crazy year. First visit ever for the Tigers to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, you would have thought at some point in time their paths would have crossed. I know it started with the Gator Bowl back in the late 70s. And again, Pitt's been in the league now for a while. You just assumed, oh, yeah, the Tigers have been up there, been there, done that. Wrong. You know, so we talked about the Wake Forest fans getting a great trip to go to see Army and that and setting. Pittsburgh's a great food town, great football town. Any Tiger fans rolling into Pittsburgh this week, I think you'll love it. It's a blast.
I'm excited about it. Davin was talking about that this week, too. I didn't realize that he had never been there. Like you said, he said he'd been there for Justin Ross's surgery. Mm-hmm. That's where Justin got taken care of. But Davin was watching the Steelers on TV just like the rest of us and checking out Heinz Field on TV just like the rest of us. So I'm excited. I think it'll be a really cool atmosphere and hopefully a good game.
All right. Now, here's the really important question, Pac. You're going to get a Permane Brothers sandwich, correct, Grace? I mean, you're not going to let us down. You're not failing us on this particular discipline, right?
I will definitely not fail you. I will 100% be getting one.
Don't be shocked when you see French fries on the sandwich.
I know. I feel like I need to prepare accordingly for the sheer size of this and get ready to. I don't know. I feel like I really got to amp myself up for the consumption of this massive sandwich.
Well, number one, it's delicious, and number two, you do have to pace yourself unless you figure.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a monster.
Yeah, it's one of those. If you do it right, you won't eat the rest of the day. But it's delicious.
There you go. How's that?
All right. I will pace myself. I'll slow down a little bit.
And that's it. How about pace?
All right. Grace Rayner, The Athletic. Thank you as always. Great to catch up. Safe travels.
Yes. Thank you all. Good to talk to you guys.
All right. Clemson-Pittsburgh is 3:30 on ESPN Saturday from Heinz Field.
Panthers favored. A lot of folks yesterday, one of our questions on radio was, as upside down as this year has been, we do not have a ranked versus ranked matchup in the country this week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we already gave you an example. Coastal Carolina last night was 14th in the country, went up to Boone.
Well, you just don't go into Boone.
Woodlands Barbecue, cold, crisp night on a Wednesday, and they got a loss. Folks storming the field. Yeah. There's a ranked team losing to an unranked team. There's a lot of that been going around this year. 48 ranked teams this year have lost in the AP poll, 26 to unranked teams. Pittsburgh is ranked. Clemson is not. Panthers are favored. Be careful if you're a Pitt fan. Just saying. It's one of those typical watch out. Same thing with Wake Forest. Wake's ranked. Army's not. Going on the road.
NC State's ranked. Miami's not.
There's a bunch of those this weekend. Just be careful. The trend has been unkind to those ranked teams this year.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Wes, look what we got. Sunday best coming
That's
up
it. Here. Sunday best. Coming up at noon, women's volleyball. Number 4, Pittsburgh. Number 2, Louisville. 2:00, Florida State Duke on the pitch. Mark Kerkorian in the triangle for the weekend.
It's a tough weekend, man.
Chapel Hill tonight, Duke on Sunday.
Good teams.
And then Duke NC State, 4:00 women's volleyball from Raleigh. All right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Louisville number 2, women's volleyball.
That's
Pitt
right.
Number 4, women's volleyball.
Yes, sir. That's it. So you got it.
That's a Katie George special, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That is a Katie George special.
And a big week for Florida State women's soccer. Chapel Hill tonight.
That's right.
Duke over the weekend.
Yep.
Good stuff,
yep.
Man. More in football going on.
A lot of news coming out of Big 12 media days yesterday.
I'd say.
As you might expect, given kind of the climate of that conference. And you say, well, wait a second. I'm on the ACC Network. Why do I need to know what happened at Big 12 media days?
Yeah, a little trickle-down effect.
That's right. First of all, Bob Huggins yesterday kind of got in that conversation we sometimes found ourselves in last week, where you venture off the path and start talking about what's down the road, whether it be NIL, things like that. Next thing you know, the Huggy Bear was apparently asked about all the landscape changes. What did he think about the future of the NCAA men's basketball tournament? And he said major conferences should create their own college basketball postseason event. He's only saying what a lot of people have been thinking, Pac, right?
And saying.
But not like this.
Well, I mean, when it comes from that source as opposed to a hairdo or talking head,
right,
which is the category we fall under.
Sure.
It's different.
It is different.
When you see where we're going with football.
Correct.
Set it from day one. I do think at some point in time, the Power Five is going to take their ball and go catch you later. We're going to have our own set of rules, and here's how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who knows what happens with the NCAA, right? They're still trying to figure out what their That's constitution's right. going to be, and they've got meetings coming up in November, which is going to be important. Mm-hmm. But you could see the handwriting on the wall here. The big boys are like, hey, we're taking all the risk.
Right.
We're writing the big checks. We've got budgets galore. We're paying our coaches all this stuff, and we're generating all the money. Why are we doing this? What are we sharing with everybody here?
Correct. And the other part that is sometimes just been swept away, and we've talked about this, and I think in this league it's really important, is to understand where does college basketball fit in the national sporting landscape, right? The bigger picture of college basketball. There is great concern that college basketball only finds itself in the sporting landscape of our country for about 3.5 weeks.
I can tell you, again, I go back to my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the national pulse, I mean, here in the ACC, basketball has always been a sport that people put up and keep up and figure it out one way or the other, 247-365. It's not that way around the country.
That's it.
And I can tell you, doing the radio show in the afternoon, that in my opinion, the interest in men's basketball in particular,
correct,
in the regular season every year has become more decline, slower decline, that we worry about the tournament and wake me up when we get there. And now you'll have a pocket. Hey, Duke plays Carolina. You know, Big Ten's got great matchups one way or the other. Kentucky's going to play somebody of note in the SEC, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. Baylor's your national champ. You know, they're playing at Kansas. You'll have, you know, spikes for a night.
Right.
But in terms of the general interest, it feels like, in my chair, that college basketball gets started in March. And that's kind of scary.
It used to be post-Super Bowl, and now it's run past that into March.
I'm just telling you my experience. Mm-hmm. Now, I hate that personally because I grew up in a family just like you did yep. and in an area where, guess what? You could not wait till Midnight Madness. Like, it was go time. You yep. knew everybody's roster. You knew who was coming back. You knew what their weaknesses were. You wanted to see how they improved from a year ago. That seems like a million years ago.
Yeah.
Feels that way. And Wes, I'll be honest with you, too. We're going to be completely transparent. When we were 3.5 miles down the road last week, and we're doing ACC tip-off, and, you know, here's Coach K sitting with us, here's Mike Bray, here's Tony Bennett, et cetera, et cetera. And we're asking coaches, what is your roster? And it wasn't that we weren't prepared. It's like, as a fan, what is your roster?
Right.
And that, to me, is a problem. When you are a fan base and you go, hey, I love my team, love my coach, love my school, but this transfer portal and the one and done, what does my team look like?
All right. In your mind today, what value percentage-wise do you give Huggins' comments about a break-off and a whole separate event?
Well, I think he's not the only one talking about
it. There's no question about that.
So I think there's, again, am I telling you this is going to happen tomorrow? No. However, I do think that there are some power brokers that are looking at the landscape of college athletics going, we are going through this transitive stage, and we are. In every sense of the word.
Right.
Name, image, and likeness, transfer portal, yeah. the NCAA, what is it? The expansion of the college football playoff, mm-hmm. You know, who's going to have control, the creation of the alliance. All of this is happening at one time. So I don't think you can look at Bob Huggins' comment and dismiss it as if, has he lost his mind at West Virginia guy? No, he has not. I don't think he's lost his mind at all. And I think there's a lot of folks taking inventory going, hey, where are we going? I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar event. Billion dollar event. Yep. So, you know, who's really going to be in control? It's a money play. It's a power play. I don't think you can dismiss it.
Yeah, more to come on this as we move through the weeks and get closer to the start of college basketball season, which is, by the way, what, November the 9th?
It's coming.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.